the entire book of Ephesians. It is a great blessing as we have learned so much as we are going to continue. And I pray and hope that what you learn will really sink into our hearts and your hearts, and we will really grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. And last time we saw how we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And today we are going to stop where we start. Alright? And let's go to verse 14. Says here, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Some of your Bibles may not say who is the guarantee. Some of your Bibles might say the earnest of our inheritance. What is the meaning of earnest? The original King James, it will say the earnest of our redemption, of our inheritance. And what is the meaning of earnest? Did you know the word earnest can be an adjective and also a noun? An adjective is used with a noun to express something more precisely. As an adjective, we say, as an example, we have an earnest student. A student who is very serious and who is zealous. He's an earnest student. Pretty, very serious. The word earnest as a noun is different. It has a different meaning. So that's why it's so important when it comes to the Word of God, especially the New Testament, was written in Greek, and even you don't have to get into Greek to know the meaning of earnest. The English has two different meanings. So that's why we need to get into the context to see what he's talking here. So the English word has two different meanings because it's an adjective and a noun, and both have two different meanings. The word adjective, as an adjective, I told the meaning is more seriousness and zealousness. But as a noun, it means a pledge. It means a down payment. It means a guarantee. It means a promise. It means a surety. The Greek word here is arabon. Actually, this word comes from the Hebrew word arabon. And this is one of the very rare occasions you will see that a Hebrew word has been passed down to Greek. We see the clear meaning in the book of... So here, in this context, what it says here that he is the down payment or the guarantee or the surety or the promise of our inheritance. Who is he here? Who is the one? Go to the previous verse. It's the Holy Spirit that has been sealed us. So the Holy Spirit is the down payment for your inheritance. Now, for me to and also it means a pledge, which is the same meaning as the down payment. Okay? Now, let me show you a clear example in the Bible, in the Old Testament. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 38. Know the story of Judah, who went to Tamar, his daughter-in-law. And he did not know that it is daughter-in-law because she kind of disguised herself. She dressed like a prostitute. And Judah did not know it is his daughter-in-law. And he thought he was a harlot, but he was deceived and went to her. Now we see the story in Genesis 38. Let's start from verse 15. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot. because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, "Please, let me come in to you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, "What will you give me that you come into me?" And he said, "I will send a young goat from the flock." So she said, "Will you give me a pledge till you send it? Will you give me a down payment? Will you give me the down payment till you give me the whole, the goat, goat from the flock?" Then he said, "What pledge shall I give you?" he asked. So she said, "Your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand." And then he gave them to her, and he went into her, and she conceived by him. And here we see a sexual immorality happening. But the meaning I want to show you here is the pledge that she asked, the down payment she asked. And here he gave the pledge. What did he give? He gave his signet, his cord, his staff, and everything what he had. In today's language, Judah basically gave his credit card with his ID as a down payment to the full amount that was going to be paid. So the meaning pledge is a promise that I'm going to give, a down payment or a guarantee or a surety. Here we see in scripture that the Lord Jesus, in the book of Ephesians, we see that the Lord Jesus, he redeemed us and purchased us from his precious blood. Then we have this unshakable confidence of the Holy Spirit that he sealed the believer. And he is our down payment for our inheritance. That means salvation cannot be lost. Once you receive salvation, you don't lose it. Once you receive salvation, because once the Holy Spirit seals you, and we saw this last week, he's not going to open that seal. God doesn't make a mistake. And we saw before the foundation of the world that we were chosen by God. And here we see that we have this unshakable confidence of the Holy Spirit has paid the down payment for our inheritance. And as for now, we are not redeemed completely, aren't we? We are not. Why? Because of this flesh. We are locked into this flesh. We cannot get out. The real you is your soul. That's real you. Okay, the flesh is the one that covers you. Okay, is we are locked into this flesh and we are occupied to this world until Jesus comes in his second coming. He will totally redeem us. And until then, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit for that great day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, Ephesians 4:30. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." So there is a day of redemption that you are totally going to be redeemed. And we are looking forward to that day. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. That goes very well with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:22. "Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." He's talking exactly the same language, same sort of scripture, the same meaning. If you have something very precious and important, you will keep them in a special place. And you will seal them that nobody can take it away. But for why? For security reasons. Because it's so precious to you. It is so important to you. But the things that are not precious, the things that are, you don't use it, things that are garbage, you will trash them, right? But do you know that we are the property of God? We do not belong to ourselves. You know, this is the greatest joy that I have, that I don't belong to myself. If I belong to myself, I'll be in trouble. I praise God for that. Because if I belong to myself, then the confidence will be in me for everything. But I'll tell you, my flesh is a failure. So I cannot put confidence in myself, neither can you. But that's why we have a God who will never fail. And I put my confidence in God Himself. And I know I'm not on myself because I was created by Him. Not only that, He created me. When I fell into sin, I was going directly to hell. He purchased me. He bought me with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So if He bought me, I don't belong to myself. We belong to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 6:19 says, 1 Corinthians 6:19, you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. So, here we see, when you seal something, you distinguish this from the others. Here we see the grace of God to the believer as the believers are sealed, and God claims as His own property. And He distinguishes that what is sealed, those are the true Christians, from the unbelievers, the people who are in the world. By how does He do this? By not only by sealing them, and also by setting God's affection upon them. And also by protecting them and guiding them. Now, Ephesians 4, it says here, we know that the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee or the down payment of inheritance. So the down payment is paid for what? He paid the down payment for what? So you need to think. Okay? We need to think when we read and study. So the down payment is paid for what? For our inheritance. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? So the down payment or the guarantee or the pledge of our inheritance. And what is an inheritance? We don't hear this word today, but usually an inheritance is a property or a possession that someone receives it without a purchase. It's a gift. It's a gift from an ancestor. For the believer, it is not an earthly inheritance that God has given us, but it is a heavenly inheritance. The earthly inheritance, what people get from their ancestors, they're going to perish one day. But the heavenly inheritance is an eternal inheritance which will never perish. Remember, so in inheritance that we receive, that we didn't work for it. We received it free. And we don't deserve it. Remember the children of Israel. And God called Abraham. And God chose Abraham. And to go, then of course, to a certain land. And we see the story, how all the way through from Moses, Joshua, and God told for them to go to the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. Now, God gave that land for the tribes, of 12 tribes, and gave them the property of that land. But they didn't earn it. They didn't work for it. And they had to go through the wilderness and a lot of hardships and trials to get this inheritance. And it was not easy. It's the same thing with us. It's not going to be easy. this inheritance is really the Father's gift for the believer. You know, inheritance, I said, it comes from an ancestor to a person, freely given as a gift. And this inheritance is our Heavenly Father's gift for us. And what is it? It is the heavenly kingdom. It is basically heaven. Just imagine, if somebody gives you an inheritance of $1 million, you say, wow, I got $1 million. That's an inheritance where you never earned it. And I'll tell you, that $1 million will be sent pretty soon. So either, you know, and some people can ruin their lives with money. And sometimes they can forget God with $1 million. And you know what? And they cannot take that $1 million when they die. Absolutely, they can. But just imagine, God, the Father, He says that He is going to give you an inheritance. What is it? I'm going to give you heaven. Wow, amazing. And we are going to learn a little bit about heaven today. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 29. Luke 22, 29. Heavenly kingdom, Luke 22:29, Jesus said, "And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me." And James chapter 2, verse 5, "My beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him?" God has promised that inheritance for us, those who love Him. So the Holy Spirit makes the pledge, the guarantee, the down payment that is prepared and promised to us. And the Spirit of God certifies the believer the right to the heavenly inheritance by this pledge, by this down payment. That means it is certified, it is confirmed. Now, like the children of Israel who received an inheritance, the land of milk and honey, in later times, but they had to go through the wilderness of temptations, trials, hardships, difficulties, we as Christians are called pilgrims on this earth. Pilgrims, that means a pilgrim is a person who is just passing through another place. That's not his real home. So this is not our home here. We are just pilgrims journeying through the wilderness of this world to our eternal inheritance that is going to be in heaven. And that's our focus. Our focus, our real home, which we haven't yet not seen, is heaven. But this is the world, is our wilderness.